Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Well, the numbers are pretty stark at the moment. As you know, 2,615 cases, 200 new cases yesterday, 46 deaths in the Republic of Ireland, and in Northern Ireland, 410 cases and 21 deaths. Let's put human stories on these awful figures. Ciarán O'Rourke. Ciarán, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Your mother died yesterday.
Sunday, yeah.
And tell us, if you would, please, of how, because it came on very, very quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, we got a phone call on the Thursday to say that she contracted it, and they brought her to the hospital, and the hospital refused her because she was gone too far. So he brought her back to the nursing home where she was.
Okay.
And she died there alone, on her own, no one around her, nothing. No family, none of us were allowed in to see her or anything,
And it was COVID-19.
It was the COVID-19, yeah. She said it was gone too far in the hospital, so she just put it back and she put us to date just to make all it is.
And how long did she last for after she was brought back to the nursing home?
Not even 24 hours.
Okay. Tell us about your mum, Ciarán. She sounds, the little bit I've been hearing about her sounds, she's an incredible woman.
She wasn't. She was the pillar of the community. She really was. She done some more projects years ago for the kids. She was a community woman. You know, she came from an orphanage. She was an orphanage, an orphan girl. She came up from Longford and made a life for it, made a life for herself. But this went to her heart, and she had two of her sisters, nieces, nephews. And one of my nieces couldn't even attend the funeral. She had to FaceTime after the funeral.
Yeah.
No, so she was just brilliant. She was she didn't deserve that. But she just didn't. She was good.
And she was a young woman. She was 69, Anna Rourke. And whereabouts in Dublin did she... I'm presuming Dublin. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. But it was Dublin. Castleknock was the nursing home.
Okay.
And
where was the community where she worked?
It wasn't work, she was an artist.
So she was a volunteer, she did all the work voluntarily.
It was always for the kids and the community. She worked in the charity shop as well for a little bit.
A charity shop. Okay, and Ciarán, tell me about what happened after your mother died, because the protocols and the procedures now are very different.
We just have to be tested and that, and you know. And we're just waiting on results and that, so but nothing like it. I just hope people stay in and listen and take the proper procedures and it's very, very hard for someone to lose someone like that over this disease. You can't even see them with a hug or any family member, you know. People need to stay in and just let this clear out, and then I'm go out and drink and do whatever you want, but just please stay in and take proper procedures and look after each other. And, you know, that's all. What I would have liked in that is just if I could tell the story so I could help someone else.
Yeah. How will you remember your mother, Anne, Ciarán? How would you describe her?
She was me just life. I was the only boy and the youngest, and had a special bond, you know.
Yeah.
I used to bring her up, I used to take her out and bring her the pictures from the nursing home, and that was me whole routine, daily routine was going up to meet my mother.
Did you go up to see her every day?
I tried, yeah.
Yeah, fair play to you. And
the nursing home didn't even ring me back once that day, during the night after, we were ringing them and they wouldn't even ring, and so a property and all, and everything.
That would happen. I'm not
saying no one to go off anyone, like,
okay.
How would you pick it up? anything.
Okay, everyone's up to their eyes at the minute. That's the problem. And Kieran, what was the funeral arrangements for your mother? Where was she buried, or where was she?
She was buried in Glasnevin. She was just took from the funeral home straight to down past the house, and then straight to Glasnevin and buried.
Okay. I'm sorry for your loss. Are many of you in self isolation now, Kieran?
It's just me and my sister, and my mother's home now at the moment. My other sister has her own apartment.
Okay, so you and your sister in self isolation for another week, I presume.
Yeah, as long as it takes.
Okay. Well, God rest Anna O'Rourke, Kieran.
Yeah.
She died too young. She's way too young. Anna Rook from Donard in Dublin, a great heart of Dublin near Stonybatter there, historic part of Dublin, great community. May she rest in peace, Kieran, and you look after yourself.
Calm and looks after themselves as well and be safe.
Okay. It's a good message. Thanks, Kieran. It's a pity about the line. Pádraig Yates, Pádraig has contacted us. Pádraig, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
Let me give out the numbers. 1850-715-815. Joe at rte.ie and 51551. Wash your hands. Pádraig, put your case, Pádraig. That's the idea of the programme.
Well, first of all, thanks. I'd hear about Kieran's mother. And I have a sister in a nursing home as well.
Yeah.
And so far, you know, please God, she's okay. But my case is very simple, really, Joe. And I appreciate it's a bit unusual. I live in a one-bed apartment, which doubles up as an office.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't go out under the present regulations. Physically, I can't leave the apartment, except I do go down the stairs to collect groceries that family members leave for me outside.
Because you're over 70.
But I'm 73, nearly 74. So I get up early in the morning, and I appreciate I get up a lot earlier than most people, unless they're farmers. I get up about 5 to 5:30, and what I was doing until Saturday was going for a walk on Portmarnock Strand at that time. So I'd be heading home about 6:30, 7:15 in the morning, and I might in the course of that journey see at the very most, I'd say, 10 or 12 people, often nobody at all. So my plea is simply that if you're fit and you're active and you're able to go out, could there be a sort of curfew period when people over 70 who wish to do so can go for a walk? And in my case, as I say, that time would suit me. It probably wouldn't suit a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a time when there's very, very few other people about. So it's as simple as that, Joe, and I appreciate this is a serious health crisis, and I'm not asking for anything that would jeopardize anybody else. And if I have to stay indoors for the next, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, then I have to stay indoors. But it won't be good for my mental or physical health, and it won't be good for the physical and mental health of other people in a similar situation. And I could just add to that on Saturday, when I realized this problem existed, I tried to contact various supermarket chains, and I could register with them for home delivery. But not one of them could promise me delivery for the next 3 weeks or more.
Wow.
Because you know, the huge demand for their services. And again, I accept that, and I don't expect them to drop their existing customers to facilitate new people who, in my case, I'd only use it during the emergency, and then I'd go back to normal shopping.
And did they indicate, Pádraig, that given that there's a blanket ban on over 70s leaving their accommodation, did any of the supermarkets indicate that they would give preference to over 70s?
No, well, not to be honest with you. The only one I could actually get through to and speak to someone, as opposed to registering online and all the rest of it, was Tesco, and was a very nice man there. The most he could suggest was that if I want to buy stuff and come and collect it, they could give it to me, but they couldn't deliver to me. So that would obviously defeat the purpose of the exercise.
Well, you're not allowed out to collect it.
Exactly, yeah.
And is the over 70 rule being policed, do you know?
I haven't a clue, because I haven't been out, Joe.
Yeah. And have you a balcony or a garden? Or?
I have a small balcony. I measured it for the first time, actually, on Saturday. It's 1.7 metres by 1.7 metres. So I can go and stand on it. I can't, and a few flower pots on it and that. I can't really do any serious exercise on it.
Yeah,
in fact, someone couldn't talk to me on the balcony and be at a safe social distance from me. So, yeah, so it, I can stick my head out the window and look at the clouds and the trees, but that's about the height of it. So, say, I'm not looking for anything that would threaten anybody else, you know, at all. So that's my plea.
And the government, the government argument and the medical officer's argument, this is done to protect you, Pádraig.
Sure,
you're fine, but if by any chance you contracted it.
But if I'm going out at 5:30 in the morning, and say they limit it to an hour, say you can go out between 5:30 and 6:30, the chances of me meeting someone or certainly passing within 2 meters of someone are fairly slim, Joe. I mean, it hasn't happened to me before this curfew was imposed. I imagine it's unlikely if people hear you can go out between 5:30 and 6:30 in the morning, the Portmanteau Strand will be flooded, as it was 2 weeks ago. And I didn't go out when that beautiful weekend. I deliberately didn't go out because I knew it would be packed.
Stay with us, Pádraig. Joe at rt.ie, 1850-715-8155-1551. Wash your hands. Anne in Santry. Anne, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you, Joe?
Tell us your... Good, thanks, Anne. And tell us your story.
Well, it's just... my husband's talking upstairs, Sacred Heart. I forgot how to read. No, it's just that he's been out for a little walk lately and twice. Well, he's been out more than twice, but the other day he saw on the side of the path 4 pairs of plastic gloves and 2 face masks. Just that people seem to be just coming out of supermarkets and saying, I'm fine now, and throwing them on the side of the path. And yesterday, near her house, he saw another, where a bus stop is, another couple of pairs of gloves just taken off and flung. And there is a bin where these were found. So I'm just thinking, do people think it's once they're safe that we're not, the rest of us aren't safe? I just thought I'd highlight it. It's a bit irresponsible.
And as you say, there are rubbish bins nearby. And Anne, what age is your husband?
He's in his 70s.
But is he allowed to go out for a walk?
Of course he is.
He's not?
Why? Oh, do we have a lovely park opposite us?
But that's the point that Pádraig Gates has just highlighted. That
no parks now. I better tell him he's on his way.
Over 70s cannot go out.
Oh, but you can go for a walk.
No,
Joe.
You can't.
Why?
That's what the government and the chief medical officer has decided.
Only today now?
That was Friday night at 8:30, the Taoiseach announced it.
Well, he went yesterday and there was loads of people out.
But the over 70s. Pádraig, will you tell... I know you don't want to be evangelical, but will you explain to Anne what happened on Friday night?
Right.
Well, I can't actually, Joe, because I missed the news, but I can... tell Anne that I read in the newspapers the next morning, which I get online, all the regulations, and they include that anyone over 70 has to remain at home.
Oh.
If they have a garden, they can walk in the garden on their own, but they cannot go out on the street or into any public space to exercise or shop or do anything else.
And how will that affect a man?
Oh, no, I will obey. Oh, no, that's no problem at all. He's a television addict anyway, so that doesn't matter.
And have you got a garden?
We have a lovely garden.
Well, that's where he's going to have to stay.
That's no problem at all.
And how are you managing generally, Anne?
Oh, fine, no problem at all. We're doing what we're told, absolutely, yeah.
Okay. And you hadn't heard about the over 70 rule?
I didn't hear that. Was that today now?
No, that was Friday. It was from Friday night at midnight.
Never. Well, what day is today?
Monday.
Monday.
Where is how he likes his walking, does he?
Well, he does. He likes to look at nature.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, it's no problem to him at all.
And how's his health?
Very good. His health is good, apart from a broken wrist. He's fine.
And what happened to his wrist?
Oh, well, it's a long story, Joe. Now I'd have to go into detail.
Well, just tell me what happened.
He fell and he was on a crutch, and the crutch went underneath him.
Okay, why was he on a crutch?
because he was in a hit and run.
Oh my
year.
God! Are you serious?
I am. Yes.
Where was a hit
I'm
and run?
I'm laughing now.
Don't. Where was this? Where was a hit and run?
If everyone is listening to me, they say, "Oh my God!"
No, you're fine. I'm. You're not to give out about me, Anne. Not about you.
Well,
you're
anyway,
fantastic.
The point was, he was crossing the road in the Swords Road with a friend, and he was hit with a motorbike, and his friend will never come out of hospital.
What?
And he can't walk, and he was in hospital for 3 months. And he couldn't walk either, and he's completely healed now, thank God. But he was still on the crutch. He went from underneath them 2 weeks ago, and
broke
he fell
his
on
wrist.
His bottom and tried to save himself.
But are you saying the motorbike that knocked
and
him...
And they never got him.
The motorbike never stopped?
No.
And
seemingly it stopped and went off again.
And are you saying the other chap that was with him...
Yeah, the other man is out in a home now.
Paralysed?
He can't walk. I don't know if he's paralysed. He can't walk, but he's out in a home. And... He goes out. My husband goes out to see him.
And was he a? They were buddies. Were they just out for a stroll?
Well, they were over. They went for a pint. And I hate saying that because people might think they were drunk.
No, they don't.
But
they don't. Yeah.
And they were crossing the main road at 9:30 at night on the 19th of December.
And okay, a week before Christmas.
And that's what happened. And it all started from there. So. That's over and done with, thank God. That's healed.
But did the motorbike came, hit the two of them.
Yeah.
Paralysed one of them. Obviously broke your... Did he break your... What's your husband's first name? Just his first name.
Tom.
Tom. Broke Tom's leg or did him injury.
Three breaks on his hip.
Three breaks.
His hip, his thigh and around his knee.
But surely that was on... Would that have been on crime line or whatever looking for...
No, sure, I won't say it, but we only had one guard here investigating. That's the end of it. We've heard nothing since. That's the torn in our side.
Okay, last quick point then. If a motorbike hits two men, surely the motorbike hits the ground as well.
Well, you see... I don't think it was a heavy motorbike, but it was a fella on a motor or something.
Yeah, okay.
And it hit the ground, and a few lads saw it, and a taxi man, and your man jumped back up on it. Now, he left bits and pieces on the ground, which I saw, but it didn't seem to... must have fell off him, but nobody ever...
He was never got?
No.
Well, that's an... Anyway.
And I wouldn't like to tell you if I got him, he'd have more than a broken leg, that's for sure.
Yeah.
They don't realise the devastation they leave behind.
Yeah.
The devastation they leave to families.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thank God everything is all right here.
Yeah.
But that other poor man had to leave his home and everything. And he has children that look very good to him, but he can't come back to his home.
Incredible.
You know,
and no one ever got for it.
No one ever got.
Okay.
And if he's listening today... Put your hands in the air and ask God to forgive you.
Yeah.
Okay, Joe.
Okay, and you mind yourself.
Anyway, just thought I'd highlight the other
thing.
Yeah,
okay. Stop discarding the plastic gloves and masks.
Yeah,
there are
exactly.
bins everywhere. Okay,
okay,
and mind yourself and tell Tom
thanks
we said hello.
Much.
Yeah, okay.
Bye-bye.
Stick to the garden. Patricia O'Mahony is in Bettystown. You listen to Pádraig. Your point, please, Patricia.
No, I was just listening to Pádraig there, and it's in his own interest. Being a little bit more vulnerable, you know, being mature, I better not say age. But I was in a shop the other day and there was a woman there running around frantically and I said to her, "Are you all right?"
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "I have three children out in the car. I have to run. We're not allowed to bring them in."
Okay.
So what I'd like to say to Pádraig is, you know, he's not the only one, you know, the government are in all our interests here. I mean, you're not allowed to bring a child in. A friend of mine's little girl said to her the other day, "Mom, what's wrong with me? I'm not allowed."
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and that's a mother with three children. And you know yourself, we've often kind of ran from the car for 2 minutes to get something. So that man isn't the only one that's asked to politely stay in because he's that age. Mothers can't bring their children out. They can't bring them to the shop with them. You know,
but you can bring your children out. That's allowed.
You can bring the children out, family
once
and whatever,
a day,
but they're not allowed in a shop. You know, there's certain restrictions for them as well, and it's kind of very sad that he's feeling this way, Pádraig, about things.
Pádraig,
Pádraig,
yeah.
You know. We're all in this together.
Okay, that's the question, isn't it? That's the point, Pádraig.
Yeah. Well, no, look, I'm not disputing any of the health issues at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just asking if someone in government side could look at the possibilities that would allow restricted access to fresh air to people who cannot otherwise get it. And I mean, Joe, even people who are in solitary confinement in prison get an hour out a day because it's recognised that long-term confinement
It's only for a short while. Power, this is under very crucial circumstances.
True.
And they're begging people. And if we comply with this, we'll be all out eating our Easter eggs and hanging them on the trees on Christmas Day.
I think you might be right there, Anne, unfortunately. But look, it's simply
no,
a
we
point
are going to be positive here now, guys.
Okay, okay.
We're doing our best.
No.
You know.
Okay, look, Anne, I fully accept what you're saying. I'm not saying they should change it. I'm simply saying they should look at if it's possible without posing a threat either to people over 70 or to anybody else.
But
and
Paul,
if it's not practical, and if
it's,
can I finish? If it isn't possible, then I accept that. But if you're stuck in a room, literally two rooms, and you can't leave those two rooms for a very long period of time, then you know you could have mental and physical health problems.
But it's the same for a woman with three children stuck in a house.
Could I just come back?
Yeah, no, let Parik make his case. Go ahead.
Sorry, the other point as well about the supermarket situation. I'm lucky; I have family and I have very good neighbours who will get groceries for me. But there will be people out there who are socially isolated and can't. And how on earth are those people going to get
to make sure that they're not socially?
Could I just finish, please? Please come back. All I'm saying is that there are people who are socially isolated as well as physically isolated. And at the moment, there is no way they can access shopping to get essential supplies. That's all I'm saying.
But listen, there's enough of us out there. I mean, we all know our jurisdiction or whatever. We've been kept in this area now. We're all allowed. I'm not allowed going to Drogheda. I'm not allowed going. But when I go to when I'm walking back, I know people that are elderly, old, whatever. And you know what? Just to even leave a pint of milk on the door or a packet of biscuits on the door, you don't have to know the person. You don't have to be isolated. There are people around here that live alone. I wouldn't know. But the odd old time, an old packet of biscuits on the door, you know.
And,
like,
Parik, would it help if, I presume, your relatives can visit you?
No, they can they can't. I mean, my son actually works in the health services, or works in health support services, so he's actually working at the moment. But he can't, he's not supposed to, precisely because he works with other people. He's not supposed to have physical contact with me, or my wife. Nobody's supposed to come into contact
with
you.
Well, I've been dropping things to neighbours, but I talk from my car window. I ring the doorbell, I get back into the car, and I ring. You know, and have you got a phone? Do you know, we're all having, God forgive us, a bit of crack with the WhatsApps, but there's some really funny ones. Do you have friends that will WhatsApp? This is how, Parik, what I'm trying to say to you is you're not the only one in this situation. We're all cracking up. I'm in the beauty trade. Hair, I can't do it. I miss my girls so much, but we're WhatsApping, we're doing things. I'm sending them pictures of lovely girls with their hair is done saying, don't worry, girls, we'll be all back. You know, and we're having a bit, we're kind of doing it that way. Do you know we are blessed that we don't live abroad like people normally live like we're doing at the minute, who are in, you know, in the backs of trucks trying to get away from their country. You know, this is nothing to us. We're getting a taste of maybe what the others in a very mild way.
Okay, let me bring in Sandy, because Sandy has another angle on it. Sandy Clark, your point. Joe at RT.ie. Go ahead, Sandy.
Hello, Joe. Hello. Yes, I'm a retired occupational therapist over 70.
Okay.
And very fit, play golf, swim all year, and so forth. And I was talking with some of my swimmers the other day, and pointed out, because I was very, very anxious to get out, you know, when it was, you know, dark or early morning.
Yeah.
And she pointed out, look, if you have a trip, which one of us did a couple of weeks ago and broke a bone, you can't
That's a good point, actually. If you fall,
you're
going to end up in A&E, and A&E can't handle.
If a dog knocks into you or something, you cannot rely on ambulances and go to hospital, because it puts you at risk, and therefore, you know, using
scarce and valuable resources.
Exactly,
Pádraig, what about that? I know you're an avid cyclist, Pádraig, and you're very fit. Yeah. You're very fit. But what about those points? Like,
look, I accept that they're perfectly legitimate, Joe, and it may not be possible. I fully accept that. I think the more important or the more pressing point is the other one. Unfortunately, a packet of biscuits is not going to do it for people. Where other people are isolated, as I am, and don't have family support, or don't have very good neighbours watching out for them, they have a serious problem.
And are you in? An apartment block, is it, Pádraig?
Yeah, an apartment block, and they have very good neighbours, and they've already called by. Even the caretaker gave me a call to see if I was okay. So I've no problem in that.
But the rules are pretty strict. Yeah. It says even within your home, over 70s, even within your home, you should minimise all non-essential contact with other members
of
their
household. And I agree fully,
Okay, so the way you're reading that is... that even if your family wanted to visit you, you're okay in that sense. So it'll be non-essential contact.
Absolutely. Okay. And my family aren't visiting me. They're leaving me food when I need it. But apart from that, and obviously phone calls, and I use the computer a lot, as you know, Joe. I work from home. And I actually have no difficulty filling the day work and reading and whatnot. And in fact, could I suggest one other thing, Joe, in this period of lockdown? I've gone back and I'm looking at some old archives I have, which I'd photographed with permission, and I'm going through that stuff now. But in a lot of countries, they already have a system where national institutions put stuff online and use crowdsourcing to get people to transpose it into templates that can then make them fully searchable. And we now have a captive labour force of people who might want to
that. That's a great idea, because you're an award-winning historian and have been honoured for it by the NUI for your work on the lockout and the work on Dublin and incredible social history. Stay with us, Pádraig.
Rising and the troubles.
Okay, thanks, Pádraig. But Sandy, if you have any ideas, you are an occupational therapist.
Yes.
Pádraig has told you the space he has on his balcony is less than 2 meters square. What could he do?
That's very difficult. I mean, there's somebody in Europe who did a whole marathon on his balcony, but I think it must have been a little bit longer than that. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got a skipping rope. And I've got, I do skipping when I'm cooking. I just skip in the kitchen up and down, or I dance around the table.
But you skip when you're cooking, you skip without the rope.
Without the rope, the rope,
Okay,
And I do squats, and I do weights, you know, get 2 bags of sugar or anything, anything. It doesn't matter. But the thing is to have a routine, so that you set out your routine.
Yeah, good point,
before breakfast, after breakfast, whatever suits you.
Over 70s rule, instruction is getting across. Tom, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're in Monkstown of County Cork. You have a dog.
I have a dog, a golden doodle. He's a big dog. He requires walking every day.
Golden doodle, okay.
Yeah.
And what's your dog's
name? I was just Brando.
Brando, okay.
Yeah. So I was just wondering, the regulations up to last week, from what I understood, I can take the dog out. I'm 72. I can take the dog out and there's no problem. But over the weekend, from what I could interpret, people over 70 are not allowed out at all.
That's
right. I'm just wondering about that.
Do you have a garden?
I have a garden, but I can take the dog out there. He lives there a lot. But he needs to go for a long walk usually.
Sure.
I think it's...
That's very difficult. I mean, I suppose you could use a small ball and get him to jump and, you know...
it is just...
Difficult.
If you've got spares, you can use those for exercise, a dog. use it.
Stairs.
Well, if you have a ball and you throw it up the stairs, most dogs will chase it and they'll keep doing it. Mm. But I appreciate it's still no substitute for proper walk, no exercise.
I think it's last tango in Monkstown for Brando, Tom, because your own circumstances, Tom, how are you managing? Are you on your own or have you...
I'm fine. I have no problem.
So having to stay indoors till Sunday week, Easter Sunday.
The dog
and can you let Brando out into the back garden?
I can, but again, there's not a huge walk for him, you see.
Yeah, well, he's...
That's fine, I just...
It's pretty clear, and there's no exceptions. No exceptions. Okay, Pádraig Yates. Pádraig, by the way, are you working on it? You're always doing writing articles for learned magazines about different history. What are you working on at the minute?
Well, I took photographs of the DMP log...
Dublin Metropolitan
from
Police.
1920 to 1922. And I'm just transcribing that or transposing that from the camera or from the iPhone to an Excel spreadsheet to try and start tabulating the information. It is fascinating. I mean, there's all sorts of strange things happening. I've discovered a case in Black Rock where a young member of the Irish Volunteers had been on hunger strike, came out, tried to strike up a relationship with a local girl. Mm-hmm. She wasn't interested, so he shot her dead and then he killed himself.
Oh my God.
Something that is totally lost now. But
and is that the books that were you saved from a skip?
No, there's another set of books.
Yeah, okay.
Again, Joe, I mean, that stuff is waiting there. There's prisoners in Wheatfield today whose grandparents or great-grandparents are in the DMP books.
Wow.
And the prison authorities would be delighted if there was some way that they could access these records, transpose them, and crowdfund. And there's loads of archives in this country. We're talking about digitizing them and putting them online. But to make them fully searchable, you really need to have thousands of people, you know, transpose them onto a template so that everyone can look at them properly and research them more thoroughly.
Okay, Pádraig, by the way, I thoroughly recommend, if you have Pádraig's books or you can get them online, it's Lockout Dublin 9, this is not my phone, by the way, Lockout Dublin 1913, one of President Michael D. Higgins' favourite books, and he mentioned it when it was at present when Pádraig got his honorary doctorate from the NUI. A City in Turmoil was a follower-upper, so to speak, to a city in wartime, so they're fantastic.
Joe, I hate to correct you, but it wasn't an honorary doctorate.
It was an
earned doctorate, like any other doctorate. It was.
You earned it. Sorry, Pádraig.
Not at all. No. I had to pay a fee like everybody else.
Was the president there?
Oh, the president was there, and his wife Sabina were there.
Great.
Which is very good of them. And
he's always been a fan of yours, going back over the years. Pádraig,
a fan of his too.
Yeah, I know that. Keep working, Pádraig. Thank you for airing it. And please God, if things are better by Easter Sunday and they start relaxing the rules, hopefully they would have heard your calibration of it, and they might go in that direction. Okay, Pádraig Yates, thanks indeed. Sandy Clark, thanks also. Mary, Tom, who was walking the dog. Back after this, 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Joe at rt.ie, 51551. Wash your hands. The latest stats are saying that in 22 nursing homes now in the Republic, there are clusters of CV19, and in 11 hospitals. Maybe that just accentuates. We're also getting a text from people saying there's too many people out walking in Swords and Malahide and that part. That's just one area. Marianne, your point, please.
My point, Joe, are you?
Good, thanks.
My point, I was just playing bridge online, actually.
Okay, well done, well done.
At the same time.
Okay.
I went out yesterday in the car, and I took my 90 plus, he's 92 actually, year old husband out for a drive just to see the daffodils in the middle of the road on the way out towards Enniskerry.
Okay.
And it was so stunningly beautiful. And then I actually went the extra lap to go did the turn back to Enniskerry as if you're turning to Glendalough. I was stopped by some guards there, and they asked me what age I was, and I lied and said I was 70, which I'm actually 81 this year. And my husband, they didn't ask what age he was, and they said, well, you know, is your journey necessary? And I said, no, we were just actually going out for a drive, and we're sitting in the car. So then they very, very sweetly said, you know, if you need anything, you know, you can call our Garda station, and any your nearest Garda station, and they would deliver food to you or whatever. And it was really, really nice. So then I turned around, I said, I'm turning around now here. I did turn around, but to be honest, we went home via the Scalp, which was so beautiful with all the gorse out and everything. And then when we were coming in towards Dundrum, we were stopped by a second Garda checkpoint.
Okay.
And the man said to me, he said, you know, you shouldn't be out.
Did he ask you what age you were?
He didn't ask me. No, I looked at me, probably knew what age I was. Okay. Anyway, so I
because lying to a Garda once on anyway is bad enough. Yeah, I'm glad you didn't have to tell a fib twice. And what age is your husband, Marianne?
He's 92.
And did you not? Were you not aware that over 70s couldn't leave the house except for medical emergencies?
My whole point of this is, we were both leaving the house. We've been both in the house together. We have been cocooned together, and in the car, we weren't getting out of the car. We were going to stay in the car, which we did stay in the car. I wouldn't have dreamed of getting out of the car. And just to give him that experience of the springtime, who knows, he may be here for another springtime.
I feel that
was very important.
But Anne, as part of the argument about the over 70s, it was made very cogently there by Sandy Clark, who's a retired occupational therapist. She said that the worry is if you go away, you went out in the car yesterday with your husband.
Yeah.
And between the two of you there, you're 170 years, which is fantastic. Congratulations. But if you, God forbid, had a little accident, you would have ended up in hospital. And that's the last place anyone over 70 wants to be
but
at the moment.
Why would I suddenly have an accident, Joe?
Because people in cars have accidents.
Yeah, but why would I suddenly have an accident now? I was driving very carefully.
I know,
there was actually nobody
on the road.
But
Marianne, other people might not have been driving carefully. But anyway, were you aware of the over 70 rule, I suppose, the way I'll come at it?
Well, my feeling was we were cocooned at home. We were now cocooned in the car.
But
so it was the same situation.
Were you aware of the over 70 rule?
Well, I suppose I might have been.
You were. You're very bright. You're playing bridge there with your other hand. You're very bright, for God's sake.
I'm still working, actually.
Hey, what do you work at?
In tourism.
Well done, God. You're not working at that at the minute, unfortunately, are you?
No, a lot of tours cancelled, but I am still. I've been one.
So you're saying to me
for next year.
Well, it's important for people to hear this. You're saying I was aware that the over 70 shouldn't go outside the hall door, but did you disbelieve it, or were you in shock, or do you think it's too draconian?
Well, I just feel that if you are cocooned in the house and you go out in a cocoon situation with the same person in a car, and you don't get out of the car, you guarantee that you will not get out of the car. I can't see the difference between one and the other.
Okay, but say you had to stop for a toilet or comfort break.
No, we'd, as my mother used to say, cross your legs and think of England. That was a way of freezing up any thought of a toilet break.
Okay.
You didn't have that when you were in the
Okay. So, are you now that the Gardaí have stopped you twice within a couple of hours, and they not only they didn't reprimand you, but they offered to help you once you stayed indoors by getting the shopping or whatever.
They said that about the shopping. But the last man I did say to him, I said, you know, if I hadn't come out today, I wouldn't have met such a really great guy as you are.
Okay, well, you never lost it, Marianne. You're a charmer. You're a charmer. Are you going to stay indoors now?
I'm indoors today. That's the good news, Joe. But I do agree with Porrick about the designated, same as the shop said, designated time for people to walk.
Older people,
near Sandyman Strand, and it's nobody on the Strand, you know, between 7:30 and 8:30 in the morning, or virtually. And anyway, the tide is so far out that you could walk out to Hoots almost if you wanted to escape.
Marianne, kind regards. Is your husband? You're in great fettle, obviously. Is your husband a good fettle?
He is in good fettle. Yes, here beside me.
Okay. Well, kind regards to you both.
Thank you very much, Joe.
You have to stay indoors for your own. I know it's for your own safety. Okay, 51551, wash your hands. Jer's in Kilkenny. Jer, what happened yesterday?
How you doing, Joe? Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for making the call. Go ahead, Jer.
I went out early yesterday morning, masked up, gloved up, the whole lot, walking my little dog. I was being treated all along for the last 3 weeks for a chest infection.
Yeah.
I took a coughing fit and I actually collapsed. With the help of a friend of mine, I got back home.
Wow.
I called the care doc.
Yeah.
And they called the ambulance straight away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't feel, Joe, I had this cough for the last 3 weeks.
Okay.
I didn't think I had any other symptoms.
Right.
The ambulance crew arrived at my house. One of the guys came in, masked and gloved. Put the thermometer on the forehead and said to the other, like, gown up quick.
Wow.
I had the temperature, which I didn't realise I had.
So you had a cough and a temperature, you had a fever.
Yeah.
And at the minute they're saying we'll test anyone has a fever plus another symptom. So you have a fever, a cough and a temperature.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
I have underlying medical conditions as well. They rushed me into hospital. They were brilliant, I must say.
Yeah.
They were a fabulous crew in the ambulance. 2 minutes waiting outside the hospital, straight into isolation. Started off the process, then the swabs and antibiotics and steroids and all sorts to bring you around a bit. Thankfully they did. I feel much better than myself today.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to stress one thing, Joe. I'm a medic.
I just want to ask you.
Go ahead.
Explain that cough to me. Like you said, you started coughing and you ended up collapsing in the one bout.
Yeah, I just got real dizzy and lightheaded and just hands and knees onto the grass.
Wow.
Hands and knees. I just couldn't get my breath.
Oh, I can't imagine the fear that you had.
Yeah, it is, and Joy, it is frightening. Yeah. Anyone out there that's treating this lightly is silly.
Yeah.
Because it is superbly frightening.
Yeah.
I work as a medic. I see it all day in, day out. And I'll be honest, I thought that was curtains for me yesterday. That's how bad I felt. All of a slap. The one bit of advice, Joe, I'd love to put out there to people. I've been self-isolating myself for 2 weeks because we had a casualty in the ambulance.
Had you?
And therefore I had to isolate myself. I've been at home on my own. Masked up, gloved up, gowned up. Anything you name it, taking all the precautions. I went to Aldi to do a bit of shopping, which I'm allowed to do.
Yeah.
And to watch people there with their bare hands, handling fruit, handling vegetables, handling bread.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's insane.
Are you out of work at the moment, Jer, as such?
I'm actually in isolation hospital at the moment.
Oh, but you were working as a paramedic up to recently?
Yeah.
And have you been given a diagnosis?
No, I'm still waiting on the results, Joe. I just talked to the nurse there a few minutes ago. There could be another 24 hours.
And how are you feeling today, Ger?
Yeah, much better. My oxygen levels are back properly. My temperature has gone down to normal.
Okay.
I still had the hack and cough.
Yeah.
Still under total isolation. Nobody had come into the ward.
Yeah.
I'm in a 12-bedroom ward on my own.
Wow.
You know, and the staff here are ass up there beyond the beyond.
Great.
I mean, I had a young nurse looking after me yesterday. I wanted a cold drink out of the vending machine because her throat is on fire with this cough.
Is it, yeah?
And I went to give the poor girl some money and said, no, I won't have the money. I'll get it out of my own pocket.
Oh, my God.
She's not exceptional people.
Yeah.
Doctors and nurses.
And you're on your own in that room.
Yeah, I've plenty of room to walk around, Joe.
And have you a TV or...?
I have, thankfully. Now, I hadn't been to where I was last night. I had no TV, but sure, look, I didn't feel like a TV last night, so
I was that bad.
Yeah, but one bit of advice, Joe, I'd love to give people out there. I don't think they'll really realise it. The mask is effective. I've only heard one person saying it wasn't.
Okay.
Any sort of surgical mask, dust mask of builder providers, put a couple of wet wipes in under it, fold them in half, and it gives you an extra layer of protection.
Yeah.
Your gloves are vital. They're absolutely vital. You can get them anywhere now.
Yeah.
And above all, Joe, there's nobody going around wearing glasses. And that virus is water particle airborne.
Yeah, yeah.
And it will go in through your tear ducts.
I know that, the five.
Yeah. There's a lot of people out there that just... I had a girl laughing. I came outside my own door the other day, a neighbour of mine. I just looking at how he's dressed up. You know what I mean? I said, hi, go ahead. You're just silly. You're just silly. Like, make it little you because you had a mask and gloves on you and you had your glasses on. And there you go, you know. People don't realise out there just how dangerous this is.
Yeah, yeah. And, Jerry, like, you say you live on your own. What have you company or...?
I have a very good neighbour two doors up. I've only been in touch with two people. So it's very easy for me to keep tracking me tracing this.
Well done, well done.
I had one friend... this flight out the country, only about a mile, he comes in. Having said that, we'll be doing little projects out in the back garden, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, okay.
And we still had our plenty of distance between us.
Okay, well done.
And the other man, he comes down, he looks after me dog when I'm working.
Oh, you have a dog?
So, yeah, I have a little dog, yeah.
What's his name?
Murph.
Murph.
A little bit on freeze.
And where's Murph now?
Liam is looking after him.
Ah, good man, Liam. Yeah.
He has him in his house. That was my priority yesterday morning before the ambulance came.
That was your priority?
Yeah, get more stuff after.
Ah, well done, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Chair, I hope you make a speedy recovery.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay.
The stats are simple, Joe. I came in here yesterday morning by ambulance, and there was five of us in. Last night it was over 100.
And as far as you know, was that COVID-19?
Well, all the swabs are there. There's a bucket.
Swabs, yeah. Okay.
Quite a large bucket full of swabs on the nursing station went to go down to the lab.
Okay.
Scary when you look at it.
Please God, yeah. Everyone's okay. Jer, mind yourself and talk to you soon. And I hope you and Morph are reunited soon.
I hope people listen to your advice that's there.
Okay.
Listen to
HSE.ie. Yeah, thanks, Jer. Gus O'Hara is in Clontarf, runs the Spar in Clontarf. Two of them, actually. Gus, you've come up with another little idea, especially for older people. What's happening?
Hi, Joe. Good to talk to you. I'm just thinking about Jared there listening in before he come on. I just want to wish him well, and it just does bring the seriousness of it all to light, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Joe, I called into the researchers there this afternoon because it struck me as something that my fellow retailers around the country might, if they have time, be able to adapt. I've been taking calls now for the last 5 or 6 days for home delivery, and naturally with two small convenience stores, we don't normally do that.
Yeah.
But in fact, thanks to Deirdre Tobin and the Clontarf Resident Association, David Dorden and Marlo Cleaners, we've created what's called the Clontarf Cocoon Delivery Service. So it's a free service run by volunteers all around the Clontarf area to those that are now cocooning. And we started this maybe Friday or Saturday, and it's been quite steady. But the reason I phoned in was to say to you that I take the calls between 10 and 2 every day. And I was speaking to a lady at one stage, and she couldn't quite figure out what it was she wanted. So I said, I'll go down and take a photograph. Have you got a phone? And she said to me, well, can you FaceTime me?
Oh, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
So I said, well, of course I can. So we stopped the phone off the normal, and I used my mobile, and we got chatting. And we ended up doing the shopping on FaceTime.
And she could see, you walked her around the shop.
She could see everything around my shop.
Brilliant.
And she could pick the size she want. And no, I don't want those sausages. I prefer those ones.
Yeah,
and that all worked out very well. But incredibly, Joe, I've got about 5 calls in between. And I've offered that service to a number of people. And it just happily surprised me, how many people are quite happy and quite able to go on FaceTime at that senior age and get their shopping done.
And how do you deliver it, Gus?
Well, the way we work with the delivery is that we seal everything up nice and carefully.
Yeah.
David Dorden, the Marlowe's gentleman I spoke
great
to about.
Great community leader,
And Deirdre, they arrange through their own little group that I'll have delivery people available to me, all volunteers, from 3 until 5 to do the deliveries. and that covers the entire Clontarf area.
Well done, well done.
And yeah, so I just thought there was, if there was other retailers out there, and it's a way to connect and communicate with people too, you know. And just to reassure the public, there's no difficulty with the supply chain. In our case,
yeah,
Bar
good,
Ireland
good
have
point,
been absolutely
yeah.
wonderful with supply. We're back in stock and there's no problem with that. And for those, I wanted to just do a quick thank you to those people that are so good to step out on my happy feet when we are a little bit busy, because I have painted out lovely yellow happy feet outside our store, so there's no need to worry about social distancing. And I just wanted to know that everything is going quite well here in Clontarf, and we're doing the best we can.
Okay, and there's great shops in Nolan's, great shop as
yes,
well.
They're fantastic.
And great cooperation
and again,
they're doing
very
yeah.
well. But the other thing that's very interesting, Joe, is that it's astonishing the amount of books we're now selling, and I've even
great.
Got in some of the old classics, and thankfully we're back in stock with hand sanitizer again, and home office supplies is incredible. We've, you know, photocopying paper and ink printers, that type of thing, the people working from home, and they're all selling very well. I even got jigsaw puzzles in, Joe.
Great, I know, they're big. Okay,
so there
you go.
So if my fellow retailers,
well done,
if they're in a position to maybe go, do a bit of FaceTime with their customers and help them with their shopping.
Yeah, great little idea. Okay, that's Gus O'Hara of O'Hara's Bars Shops in Clontarf. Ted Murphy. Ted, good afternoon. The over 70s. Go ahead, Ted.
Hello, Joe.
Yeah, you.
I'd like to make a point that
yes.
there's not a big difference between 68, 70, 73, 75. I don't know why they draw a line at 70, first of all. And then, supposing there's a very obliging person that drops off my messages, a week later contacts the virus and dies. Am I not partially responsible?
If you commission someone, so to speak, to do but that's there are blanket rules, I suppose, and blanket rules will always be slightly uneven.
Well, if I have an obliging neighbour, and they subsequently contact the virus and died, would I not be partially responsible?
But the obliging neighbour would have to be under 70.
So what? There's lots of people under 70.
I know, but the point is, the stats show that if you're over 70 and you contract, unluckily, CV, through no fault of your own, CV19, your chances of it being fatal are higher. Let me put it to you another way, Ted. Are you tempted to go out shopping at 73?
Of course I am.
Are you going to?
Well, I'm weighing up the matter.
You're weighing up the matter, okay. Say with us, Margaret, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You heard Ted there, he's 73, he said he's touch and go whether you'll go out.
Well, I'm astounded, and I have been since Saturday, listening to the over 70s complain. I'm 60 and I'm a vulnerable person health-wise, so I have to cocoon. And I have to think of everybody else. And we aren't often asked in this country to think about other people above ourselves. And I would like to ask people to dig deep. They all have strengths within that they don't know about. And also to think about how much better off we are than people in South Africa, Syria.
So what would you say directly to Ted, Margaret?
I would say, do as we have been asked to do. It's not up for discussion. I cannot believe the things...
Of course it's up for discussion.
You see, it's not, in fairness, Ted, it's not. It's a government edict from midnight on Friday night.
Like three-year-old whingers is what they sound like.
We won't go down that road. Ted, we won't go down. I don't like anyone being called a whinger, but we won't go down that road. But in fairness, you should be heard. You will be allowed to be heard. Okay.
Yeah. I presume what the point of your program is to see the logic behind this.
Yeah, and also
today, if by what people say, the thing is adjusted slightly. For example, the farmers over 70 are now allowed outside their door, which they weren't up to now.
Okay.
Isn't that right?
I don't know. I haven't seen that calibration.
That's an adjustment that they've made to that.
That's an adjustment they've made
to the rule.
And I know gov.ie, it does list farmers as being, and there doesn't seem to be an age restriction on it, unless you consider the 70s age restriction. But I heard a medic on another station this morning, senior, well-respected medic, there's a lot of them, we're lucky, and he was saying, well, if you live down the country and you're over 70 and you go out for a walk on your own boreen, if you're lucky enough, where there's no traffic, and no neighbours, well, he didn't see the harm of that. But the problem is, and it's a point made by Sandy, if you go out for a walk and you're over 70 and there's no one around, and God forbid you slipped and fell, well, we don't want over 70s going to hospital.
Yeah, but that's unusual. Yeah, okay. You could slip and fall at 6 years of age as well.
Okay, but Margaret, Ted, are you anyway convinced by Margaret's argument?
No. Margaret's talking from a totally different point of view.
She's not
well herself, she said.
Yeah, but she's saying...
I'm saying to dig deep and find the strength within yourself to cope with what we have been asked to do.
There's no digging deep. I have no problem staying inside for fortnight. That's not a big deal. But my point about it is this. Mm-hmm. If an obliging neighbour comes along and goes to the shop for me, goes for somebody else, the Good Samaritan, which is fair enough, yeah, and they get the virus, and they die.
Am I not partially
responsible for placing those people in the way of getting it?
No, and especially, Ted, if you say to them, take precautions before you go to the shops, take precautions after you go to the shops, wash your hands front,
but that's
back.
That's not so definite. I'm talking about human nature. Like.
Okay, Ted, I know. Let me bring in it's Michelle. Stay here with us, Ted, and seriously, let Michelle make another point. Go ahead, Michelle, please.
Hiya. I was just out with the children last week. We just get up in the morning, have our breakfast and do our schoolwork. Yeah. Have our lunch and then just go out for a cycle for an hour.
Okay.
But for the last week, we've been getting like 30 looks from people, and twice we've been shouted at for being outside. And I just think it's kind of really unfair on the children because they don't really understand. And I'm trying not to make it too scary for them, so I don't really answer anybody back, but I'm just asking you to ask people to
When you're being shouted at, Michelle, is it over the children?
It's over the children being outside, yep.
Oh, is it?
Yep. We got shouted at going into a shop. They didn't approach me. They approached the children first.
Wow.
Which I prefer if they'd approach me first because I'm the mother of the children. And they just said to my 9-year-old son, can you wait outside the shop while your mum goes into the shop? And I never leave them outside the shop. Their own. His face just went really red and he was really embarrassed. And I just said, it was just like a little treat. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to bring him in and pick something out that he wanted. And so we just decided just to leave then. No problem, you know.
Yeah, but you are allowed to go out with your children once a day.
But it just doesn't seem that way. It seems like there's an atmosphere that we shouldn't be out at all. And I've been bringing them on their bike for an hour for some exercise because they're boys and they're full of beans. But we're not handling things or going up to people.
And who shouts at you? Is it men, women, young, old, insofar as you can judge?
It'd be older women shouted at us, really. Mm. Sorry to say that, but it was. And it was just, you just kind of get dirty looks a lot, like a lot of scowling and a lot of dirty looks, which is really unusual because normally you get smiles and it's, you know, you smile back at people and it's nice, but they kind of look at you like scowling at the children and scowling at me. And it's just an awful atmosphere, you know, that we should be like off the path or onto the road. One lady shouts at my 11-year-old, cycle on the road, but the cycle path had stopped and there was no cycle path. And I wasn't going to put it on. I just said to her, when I got up to her, I said to her, I'm not letting my children cycle on the road. It's a busy road. You know, there's buses flying up and down the road.
Okay, just a message to people. Lily, good afternoon. By the way, Michelle, how are you managing the homeschooling? You seem to be very well organised.
I found it really hard, but I'm lucky enough to work in a school, so I kind of understand it. a bit, but the first week was hard. We got into a routine, and it's fine now.
Okay.
The program on RTÉ morning was brilliant.
Say again.
On RTÉ2 this morning, the program, the school.
Was it good?
Brilliant.
Oh, great, great.
Yeah, right, really, really service, good.
Yeah. Margaret, you were making a quick point, were you?
Yeah, I think parents with young children have a lot more to cope with than those of us that have to cook room.
Okay.
That will be my final point.
Okay, well said. Ted,
thank you
want to make a final point? I want to be fair.
Well, my final point is, Joe, that I don't think people understand that if you ask somebody to do something for you, and you put him in a place of danger, if you're going to hospital, the doctors are covered with gloves, with masks, with all sorts of suits. When you send the person into a shop to do something for you, they have nothing.
And how do you manage for shopping then?
My wife.
Okay.
Shopping.
Is she under 70?
She is.
Okay. Okay, Ted, go to Margaret. That's Ted Murphy in Cork. By the way, Imposter, we're doing a great job on so many fronts. They've been asked to remind you that all social welfare payments are available for collection at the post office for up to 90 days after the payment. Any welfare customer affected by COVID-19, self-isolating or cocooning, i.e. over 70, may nominate a temporary agent to collect their payment. The form is available at all post offices on and online. 51551. And wash your hands.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
On the line, Lily, good afternoon. Lily, you've been told, your husband has been told he has to go into work. So, does he work in retail and wholesale sale of food, beverages and newspapers?
Hiya, Joe. My husband, the current situation is that he was in work on Saturday and he's in work again today.
And is he an essential service? Does he sell food, beverages, newspapers?
Absolutely not.
Does he sell the household consumer products for safety and sanitation? Is he a pharmacist, a chemist, working in a chemist?
No.
Selling medical and orthopaedic goods? No. Is he in a petrol station?
No. He is not on the list, Joe.
Is he in a pet food shop? No.
No, he's not. And, we've been up and down through that list backwards. There's nothing on that list.
So why is he in work?
Well, his employer has told them, himself and his colleagues, that they've been designated as essential workers. And beyond that, they haven't given any reference to the guidelines as to why. They haven't explained their position. They haven't given any sort of information as to why this business that they're in is considered essential. And Joe, I can tell you now, it's not. I think the biggest problem here is the fact that the gov.ie guidelines seem to be vague in places, and they seem to be very much, there's loopholes there. So if you look at the very, very first line on the what employers should do, it says that they should refer to this guidance and decide whether your organisation is providing an essential service. So I think that's a huge problem, and I think it needs to be clarified.
You're saying that you decide, well, I don't think that's the case anymore. Initially, I think it was. You could decide if it was an essential service.
This is the latest, Joe.
But at the minute, there's a list, and you're saying
you're,
and many people working in that business that your husband has to go into.
Well, it's actually just kind of moving at the moment because, when they're fully staffed, there could be, 40 plus people in the building. At the moment, it's kind of dribs and drabs because some people didn't go in. I just have to make the point that the employer did say to them, it's their choice or it's what they're comfortable with. But that's all totally redundant because they shouldn't be in work full stop. They should not be in this
and
workplace.
And have they a trade union or?
No, Joe, totally ununionised. Yeah. They're not organised in any way, so that's just not an option for them.
And would your husband be minded to ring social protection or whatever, even the Gardaí, and say we shouldn't be open?
Well, that's kind of part of the problem, is it? I mean, he's terrified of losing his job as well, because
of course,
he has to have a job to go to after
especially in the current atmosphere,
Yeah, so he'd be frightened of being identified in any way. He'd be frightened of any sort of recourse. And, like, I know there's protections in place for workers and stuff like that, but I think in reality that's not always the case. And, you know...
And by the way, in the workplace, Lily, sorry, in the workplace, are they in close contact with each other?
Well, they can be. You know, there's a lot of movement. You know, it's a warehouse setting. There'll be logistics companies coming and going. There will be situations where they're in and out of possibly containers, trucks, that sort of thing. But once again, like, I just have to keep making the point that it doesn't matter what kind of measures they've put in place to protect. Well, you know, of course it matters, but they shouldn't be there is the main point. The main point is that this is not an essential service, and how this employer can designate himself as an essential service is beyond me.
I haven't got the legislation here in front of me, but I know up north, because I saw Edwin Poots, I think is the current the minister for employment up there, and he said any company that opens when it should not be open can be fined up to 100,000 sterling. I wonder, do we have to have what are its laws? So there must be law means sanctions if you break the law. So we must try and find out what the sanctions are if you open and you're deemed a non-essential service. Okay. And by the way, are the company, I don't want their name obviously, but are the company generally good to work for?
I think that's probably another show, Joe. But you know, in this situation,
that's an answer. Yeah, in itself.
This situation, I'm just discussing it in the context of COVID-19.
You're right to raise it. Okay, Lily. Kind regards to you and your family. 51551. Wash hands.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Joe at RT.ie. Kevin Talbot. Kevin, back to this essential. Designating yourself as an essential service. What's your situation, Kevin?
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. By the way, I should point out before you go anywhere that your service, which is a breakdown service, isn't it?
I'm actually wholesale and retail, Joe.
But you're offering free call out to any health service worker.
Explain that. Any essential service worker, any frontline worker, we won't charge a call-out fee. And there's a lot of.
And what is your service?
Talk about that later. Mobile tyre fitting.
Okay, well that's very handy. If I need a new tyre and decide the road you'd come out, it's called what's your company called?
Tyre Source.
Okay, and it's in Dublin or where?
Nice Newbridge on Ratley. Yeah.
Oh, well done. Okay, so tell us what's happening in your business. Are you an essential service? You are, aren't you?
Yes. Absolutely. We've even over the weekend and on Saturday we've gotten Garda cars back on the road and nurses and essential care workers who are providing emergency care to the community back on the road when they've hit a curb.
But you can only offer emergency call out services.
Correct.
Well, are other tired places open?
It appears that there's a bit of confusion, Joe, so I just want to clarify that it's quite clear under the regulations on gov.ie that there's no tyre centre or garage should stay open under the current guidelines. It's only emergency breakdowns that are allowed to run, you know.
And you think a lot of them are?
Not a lot, no. There is some, though. But they have till the end of today to get their affairs in order, I think,
as the
regulations. But just, I think we should all be in it together, Joe, you know?
Yeah. Also, businesses can only offer emergency call-out or delivery services. There are also retailers providing electrical IT and phone sales, repair and maintenance services for home. Well, online delivery, retail sale of office products for individuals. Well, that's, again, online. To be delivered. The shops themselves won't be open. Hardware stores, builders, merchants, the stores will provide hardware products, business maintenance, sanitation of farm equipment, supplies and tools essential for farming, gardening and agriculture. They can only open on emergency or call out or delivery service basis. So that's a big blow to people. Okay. And how are you managing generally?
It's tough, Joe. It's a bit of a blow to business, but look, if we all take a hit together, we can recover from it quicker and get on.
Absolutely.
We need a supply chain as well. So there's lots of wholesale companies are needed as well. If they're not open, then our emergency services can't be there either. So those businesses do need to be included as well.
Okay, okay. Fair play. That's a great offer, Kevin, to any member of frontline staff. Tire Source are offering a free call out if you're if you do get stuck. Thanks, Kevin Talbot.
Thank you very much, John.
Michael Milmore. Michael, was your daughter-in-law? What happened?
Yeah, hello, Joe. Just my daughter-in-law was getting off the bus yesterday. She works in the rehabilitation in Rochestown Avenue, and she finished her shift, and she got the bus home, the Wexford bus, and as she was getting off, some lady started shouting at her, "You shouldn't be on the bus, you're spreading the virus." So I'd appeal to people.
And hang on. Why did she say that? Why are you saying she said it because your daughter-in-law is a medic and had a uniform on?
Well, she's a care worker.
Well, that's
she's essential to the running of the hospital. She's only one, a small cog in the big wheel.
But are you're saying that somebody spotted her in a medics or a uniform?
Well, I don't know if she had the medics. Yeah. I presume they take all that gear off when they're going out.
Are you saying this woman was saying this to everyone getting off the bus?
Well, I don't know. She was only the one getting off at that particular time. And she said, you shouldn't be out spreading the virus on the bus.
The bus services
are
legal.
It's very upsetting. That's why the bus service is there.
Yeah.
But it's upsetting to somebody that has done a 12-hour shift through the night and is trying to provide care for people that's seriously ill and seeing sadness all the time. And then you come out into the public and you're faced with this.
Okay. Yeah, people need to be much more
sensitive. But I'm sure it was just a mistake that somebody assumes that people that are travelling on buses are just travelling for the good of their health.
Yeah. You know? Okay, point out.
And I'm sure, it's just for people to be aware. It's
tell her thanks for her service. How are you managing generally, Michael?
I'm cocooning here at the foot of the Dublin Mountains.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. And then I have to go up to the attic to see the Irish Sea.
Okay, be careful, will you? We don't want you in the hospital. Okay, Michael Milmo, good to meet him. Good. Back tomorrow at 1:45. Mark McGrath was on sound. Len Conlon was the broadcast coordinator. The programme was produced by the series producer, Rebecca Meehan. And Ray Darcy is next.